The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
We are going to do some things tonight, I think, that will be very interesting. We have the honor of having Father Paul Kramer back tonight, who knows about the third secret of Fatima and how it correlates to almost precisely what's going on in Ukraine and Russia and Europe. There's some very big overlays there that we're going to talk about this hour as well. Father Kramer, are you there? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Very good. Thank you so much for getting up early again over there. It's always a pleasure. You have a very large following here. People really care about what you have to say, so we appreciate it.
Well, I'll try to comment on the situation as what's unfolding at the present time.
Yeah, I think we can start wherever you'd like. This is a very complicated issue. But let me just, if I might, as an entree, remind everyone that Switzerland and Finland have both formally applied for NATO membership. Everybody but Turkey and Croatia seems to want them in. Secretary of State Blinken over here, the communist, wants to work with Turkey. Erdogan says, no chance am I going to vote for either one of those countries, because they're both, in his words, harbors and sanctuary for terrorists. He doesn't like them. So Blinken today said, don't worry about Turkey. We are working together to make the entry of Sweden and Finland as easy as possible. So what that tells me is rather obvious, in that there's blackmail going on. Or bribery, or something, to get Turkey to back down and drop its resistance. So, anything on that, and then we can dive into it further.
Well, I read that tensions have been growing between Russia and Turkey, and this is to be expected. I think that's just one more element added to this volatile mix, which is leading toward a third world war. And
let me do this, Paul, if I can. Let me just ask you straight away. In your opinion, knowing what you know about the Vatican, knowing what you know about the Third Secret and all that in our prior conversations, what are the odds on at least a substantial nuclear exchange, hopefully not a full-fledged thermonuclear global war? What do you think?
I believe there's going to be some use of nuclear weapons. Whether it would be a nuclear exchange or not, I think it's doubtful, but I think they have advanced the ways of using nuclear weapons that they would be able to avoid an all-out nuclear exchange, because I think both sides know perfectly well that an all-out nuclear exchange could extinct life on the planet.
Correct.
So,
I agree. You're talking about the use of tactical nukes. That's the common parlance for it. Tactical nuclear weapons. Yes.
Yes. They have, I've forgotten the model number or whatever that is, but there is a very potent nuclear bomb that they have a missile that can be shot underwater and that can cause a huge tsunami.
Oh, that's, yeah, we've been covering that for a long time. That's the Poseidon. That's Russia's super secret. It's kind of, in a way, a clean nuke because it will not ignite over or on the land. It's not a direct hit. If you do a ground burst with a nuclear weapon, it will throw up uncountable tons of debris, dirt, into the atmosphere. And that atmosphere, of course, will carry that around the entire northern hemisphere. And the idea is if 40, 50, or 100 or 200 nukes were to be exploded, there would be so much material up in the atmosphere around the northern hemisphere that we would go into a nuclear winter. Now, the idea with the Poseidon is that it is an extraordinarily brilliant and absolutely deadly weapon system. It is a large torpedo with a 20, 40, 50 megaton warhead, which is clad in cobalt 59, which upon ignition turns into cobalt 60, which may be the deadliest thing that humankind will ever have to deal with. It has a short half-life, so it makes it rather ideal, if there is an ideal, for a nuclear weapon. 5 years, 10 years, the half-life is short. So in 20, 30 years, you're pretty well past the horror of it all. Not so with Fukushima, by the way. So this Poseidon underwater weapon system has a range, Paul, of about 6,000 miles or kilometers, whatever you want. And it can go 125 miles an hour at a depth of 3,000 feet in the ocean. In other words, you're not going to find it. It maneuvers, it changes course, 3,000 feet deep, 125 miles an hour, a range of 5,000 miles, 6,000 kilometers. This thing will ignite and send a tsunami of approximately 1,900 plus feet up against the shoreline and coastal area of wherever it's ignited. When they light that thing off, it will create a doomsday tsunami that will go inland as far as physics will allow it to go. And if it's a relatively flat plain, you know, we'll call it a lowland area next to the ocean, it'll go all the way back to the mountains. The Poseidon weapon was intentionally, accidentally, released in a news conference that the Russian General Staff was having. They had a big board with pictures on it, and the pictures were allegedly, you know, videotaped or otherwise filmed and accidentally released. Well, this weapon, just to recap, has an operating depth of 3,000 feet under the ocean at 125 miles an hour for up to 5,000 miles, 6,000 kilometers, I believe. and it will create a tsunami of 1,900 plus feet, depending upon the terrain in the ocean and how deep the actual weapon is ignited. If they blow this thing up, it's going to create a tsunami that could go inland 20, 30, 40 miles, depending on the topography. And then when it comes back out to sea, as you well know, it will be like a Brillo pad. It'll just scrape everything off. Amazing. 40% of Americans live within, I think it's 6 miles, 5 miles of the ocean, seashore. So it's really the perfect weapon because it will not create a nuclear winter. It's water. So there you go. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned to you in an email, our political leaders are like hired managers at this point. The ones who are ruling over us are not our elected leaders. They want to put into force a new world order. And in order to bring it about, they are trying to provoke a war between Russia and the United States. So as our elected leaders, they seem to be clueless. They seem to be taking orders and following the directives of the ones who they are beholden to.
Okay.
And they seem to be blindly following the orders for their own immediate benefit, for the sake of re-election and to stay in power, oblivious of the fact that they are setting the stage for a third world war.
I don't know how oblivious they are or not, but you raise a very important point, and not the least of which is that American political people, leaders, are obsessed with re-election from the moment they win their first term or second term. They're career politicians, i.e. criminals, and they don't want to. It's a gravy train.
They know it. So that's their prime motivation. Stay in office. That's the way I hear it anyway.
Yes, that's correct. And they seem to believe the media propaganda that paints the image of the United States as being the world's sole superpower, as if we're living in a situation not much different than after the Second World War, when there was right. the Pax Americana. The United States was not the only superpower. There was the Soviet Union.
Correct.
But in the so-called free world, the United States was the leader. In other words, the dominant force. This idea of at least in the what's called the first world, there was a unipolar dominance. And they seem to think that they can maintain that, not over what we used to call the first world as opposed to the communist world. But they were looking for a global dominance, a unipolar global dominance. And they seem to think this idea that since the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States has achieved that status of the world's sole superpower, and they seem to think that they have the power to call the shots over on everything and impose their will wherever they wish. But it's not so. They are not.
You know what really is interesting to me, Reverend Paul Kramer, is have you ever read the works of Edgar Cayce?
I've not read his works. I have read excerpts of his works, but I have not actually read his works.
It's worth your time if you have it to read a book or two about him. He was able to go into we'll call it a trance, and be given the name and location of any human being, and within a moment or two, locate that person and begin to give the stenographer a complete rundown on that individual's health. And whatever health problems that person was having, he would then prescribe natural remediations for it. It was a remarkable thing. But he then began talking about the future. And one of the things he said was, and I believe this was 1928, he said, one day, Russia, now this is early on in the Cold War, well, actually before the Cold War, just after the Bolsheviks took over. He said, one day Russia will be the light unto the world. And here we are today, Russia, arguably the last major communist, ex-communist state that has completely done a 180 and is now a Christian country, and they are leading in many ways the world. It's a fascinating thing. And he said that again in the late 1920s. So something was up.
It's an interesting thing that he said there, because it is also in the Catholic prophecies. I mentioned before Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope, presently the 95-year-old, as it were, retired Pope of the Catholic Church.
Right. Hell, he's not retired. He's a prisoner, Ratzinger. Yes.
He is effectively a prisoner. There were political forces that were operative to have him removed from office. But before he became Pope, he had said about the Third Secret of Fatima that what is related in the secret is also to be found in the messages of other Marian apparitions. Now, later in the 20th century, after the apparitions of Fatima, there were similar messages revealing some of the same things. The Virgin Mary appeared to Blessed Ellen Aiello. She was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI, okay. I think, in 2011. Mm-hmm. And one of the messages to her was that there will be a war that will break out, a world war that will break out from east to west, and that Russia will overrun all of Europe, and that Russia will wage war on America with secret weapons. Now, why would Russia wage war on the United States? Well, I'll give you. I think we're all aware of this. Mm-hmm. Now, I went to Russia in 2003, and I was reading the newspapers, and one of the interesting aspects of the news as it was presented in Russia, this was almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, was that there were many in the Russian military who feared that the direction of relations between Russia and the United States was leading to dominance of Russia by the United States, that the American policy was aimed at dominating Russia and weakening Russia. And and the encirclement of Russia. And this is something that even back in the Soviet period, they feared more than anything else, was the encirclement of the Soviet Union, aiming toward the conquest of Russia and the Soviet Union. And we see that being implemented. It is that policy which is very, very much in the forefront of the agenda of the Western forces, of the NATO allies, and they're more explicit about it now than they didn't express it that way back in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. But you read the foreign policy documents of the American government, and they're very upfront about it, that's what they want to do. So with this very threatening posture of the United States and its allies toward Russia, Now we see Ukraine being used as a staging area for attacking Russia and becoming a great threat to Russia, like Russian missiles would have been a great threat to stage Cuba. Now we see the same situation developing on the other side, where the Ukraine is now going to be used as a great threat to attack Russia. And that is the reason why, there is a very obvious reason why Russia may be driven to launch an attack on Europe and North America, because that would be a response to the very hostile actions that are being taken against Russia at the present time.
Oh, my. The situation is grave. We are watching the so-called West, and it's not really the people of the West, but it's NATO, which is run by Washington, which has as an intermediary the UK, and they are doing everything possible to force Putin and Russia to react in a nuclear fashion. They held a 50,000-man major NATO drill 2 days ago, 3 miles, I think it was, from the Russian border. And now they're holding another drill just across the Russian border from a major Russian military base. How provocative does it have to get before Putin eventually, and with justification, begins to react in a way that will protect his people and his country?
I've said it before, and it's worth repeating. Mr. Putin has shown an amazing patience in not allowing himself to be provoked into war.
I would call his patience astonishing, frankly. I agree.
He has stated, I remember in one of his speeches, that he is not in favor of that new world order. That if the rest of the world wants to have it, that's up to them. But Russia is going to look after its own interests.
I hope so. And if I might add, it is quite clear that what you're saying is in all likelihood correct and validated by the actions of Herr Klaus Schwab, who has twice now, to my knowledge, condemned Putin and Russia for the military operation underway in Ukraine. Now, that would suggest there is a schism at the top of the power structure in Eastern Europe and Western Europe, the globalists and the Russian nation. There does seem to be exactly what you're describing.
That's right. And Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and many other organizations, non-governmental organizations, and the United Nations, those who like the World Health Organization, and other agencies of the United Nations, they seem to be, I won't say they seem to be, they are setting up what is a grid of full spectrum dominance.
Correct. Yeah.
And this new world order is going to be something so utterly tyrannical. I think it was Dr. Michael Yaden who pointed out that with this grid, all protests will be useless, because they are going to gain, they are gaining, they practically have it now, a stranglehold on all the finance of the world, which controls all the production of goods in the world. And with the imposition of these vaccine passports, you will not even be able to buy food. You won't be able to enter a supermarket and buy food without this without the pass.
Very appropriate that you mention food, because there is quite clearly a major effort underway to guarantee there will be a famine come this winter, and many people are not going to have enough to eat. This is planned as clear as day, no question.
There have been American foreign policy documents going back more than 20 years. I think there was one that was signed by Henry Kissinger outlining the methods to be used. And one is using food as a weapon. And this is for reducing the population, using food as a weapon. And this is what they are. This is what they are going to be doing. They're going to be using war and food to reduce the population, and also to impose their will on everyone. That anyone who would resist is going to be starved. You can't resist. You can't be politically active if you're desperately searching for your next meal.
Well, what's the old axiom? The quickest way to a man's mind is through his stomach. And that's correct. You're right.
So we're looking at a new world order that they are trying to impose now. They're in the process of imposing now. And no matter how often you hear the saying, as Mr. Schwab insists, that we will own nothing, but we will be happy. Well, how happy can we be in the global Auschwitz, where we will be in a global concentration camp? We will own nothing. Well, someone's going to own all the goods of the world. And this is the message of Fatima. This is the secret of Fatima, that there are these devilish people who are, in fact, followers of the devil. They belong to a sect that is Luciferian. And they are going to gain control of the financial system and the system which controls all the production of the goods that we need for our food, clothing, and shelter. They're going to have complete control over that, over the production. And when they want to reduce the population, they shut down the production, because the great majority of us are classified as useless eaters. We are, to use one of the associates of Klaus Schwab's words, we are excess humans.
May I, Paul, give our listeners a little listen here, and I don't think you've heard it, maybe you have, but it is a 4-minute video of Yuval Noah Harari, who is Herr Schwab's number one advisor, and he makes it quite clear what he, and I'm assuming that the most Jews up in the upper echelons of power, feel about the rest of us, the goyim, the Christians. You know about Yuval Harari, I'm sure.
I didn't remember his name, but he was the one I was referring to specifically to him, yes.
Okay. Well, let me play this, because I think it'll make the point even more brilliantly clear. I mean, his own words. So here we go. This is Yuval Noah Harari telling you people, you goyim, all of us goyim, and Christians, of course, what he thinks of us and what they think of us and what he wants to see happen.
Again, I think that the biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people.
Do you get it? What to do with all these useless people? Useless eaters. Useless bags of protoplasm. And back to Mr. Harari.
The problem is more boredom, and how, what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless. My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games.
You are meaningless, you are worthless, and the best way to handle you is with drugs and computer games or screen addiction. Okay? Doesn't make any bones about it. That's how they think.
As a solution for more, it's already happening. In under different titles, different headings, you see more and more people spending more and more time or solving their inner problems with drugs and computer games, both legal drugs and illegal drugs. You look at Japan today, and Japan is maybe 20 years ahead of the world in everything, and you see all these new social phenomenon of people having relationships with virtual spouses. And you have people who never leave the house and just live through computers.
Virtual spouses, never leaving the house. And how many young people in America, Gen X, Gen Z, are living in the basement or the extra bedroom at mom and dad's house? Think about it. Same thing.
I think once you're superfluous, you don't have power. Again, we are used to the age of the masses of the 19th and 20th century, where you saw all these successful, massive uprisings, revolutions, revolts. So we are used to thinking about the masses as powerful. But this is basically a 19th century and 20th century phenomenon. I don't think that the masses, even if they somehow organize themselves, stand much of a chance. We are not in Russia of 1917 or in 19th century Europe. What we are talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible because throughout history, death was the great equalizer. The big consolation of the poor throughout history was that, okay, these rich people, they have it good, but they're going to die just like me. But think about a world, say, 50 years, 100 years, where the poor people continue to die, but the rich people, in addition to all the other things they get, they also get exemption from death. Once you really solve a problem like direct brain-computer interface, when brains and computers can interact directly, for example, just one example, that's it. That's the end of history. That's the end of biology as we know it. Nobody has a clue what will happen once you solve this. If life can basically break out of the organic realm into the vastness of the inorganic realm, and you cannot even begin to imagine what the consequences will be, because our imagination at present is organic. So it's if there is a point of singularity, as it's often referred to, by definition, we have no way of even starting to imagine what's happening beyond it. Looking before the point of singularity, just as the trend is gathering pace, the new attitude, I think, is to treat old age and death as technical problems, no different in essence than any other disease. It's like cancer, it's like Alzheimer's, it's like tuberculosis. Maybe we still don't know all the mechanisms and all the remedies, but in principle, people always die for one reason and one reason only, and then these are technical reasons, not metaphysical reasons. People today actually manage to live, and many people, as isolated, alienated individuals. In the most advanced societies, many people live as alienated individuals with no community to speak about, with a very small family. It's no longer the big extended family. It's now a very small family, maybe just a spouse, maybe one or two children, and even they might live in a different city, in a different country, and you see them maybe once in every few months, and that's it. After millions of years of evolution, suddenly, within 200 years, the family and the intimate community break, they collapse. Most of the roles fulfilled by the family and by the intimate community for thousands and tens of thousands of years are transferred very quickly to new networks provided by the state and the market. You don't need children, you can have a pension fund. You don't need somebody to take care of you, you don't need neighbors and sisters or brothers to take care of you when you're sick. The state takes care of you. The states provide you with police, with education, with health, with everything. In terms of ideas, in terms of religions, the most interesting place today in the world, in religious terms, is Silicon Valley. It's not the Middle East. This is where the new religions are being created now by people like Ray Kurzweil, and these are the religions that will take over the world.
Okay, now maybe you understand a little more clearly what the plandemic is, what the bioweapon injections are, what they are doing. They were never designed to be a vaccine of any nature. They were designed, created, tested, and deployed to do one thing. The thing that they are doing absolutely perfectly, and that is killing a lot of people. Paul, what'd you think?
Not only killing a lot of people, but in the process, turning people into robots.
Correct.
So you're turning human people into human robots, and you're creating artificial simulated human beings with the robot industry, who will further be used to control and isolate the human robots, that the zombies, we call them zombies, so that the robots will be used to control the zombies, and the vaccines are being used to transform people into as it were two-way transceivers, so they can be controlled electronically.
Well, another thing they're doing with people is turning them into walking biological weapon laboratories, because as their immune systems begin to degrade, which is apparently occurring within an hour or two of being vaxxed, they begin then to be the perfect petri dish for countless pathogens to begin to grow and replicate and to be shed onto other people around them. Do you see how it works? We've talked about this, Eric and I, many times. This is your future. You just heard it laid out. And that is not a future that many people would be very happy with. I can guarantee you that.
One interesting thing that they do not bear in mind, they think that the new religion of Silicon Valley will prevail over the religion originating from the Middle East. Well, in that religion from the Middle East, there is the image given to us of the Tower of Babel, and that is. Now, we're talking about thousands of years ago, a description there of the New World Order. And the tower was not completed. It was destroyed before it could be completed. In the book of Proverbs, man proposes, but God disposes. There is one who is almighty, who will destroy their plans. And that is the third secret of Fatima.
Tell me more if you can.
many of the prophecies that preceded Fatima tell us the same thing, that at the moment that they will be celebrating the victory, they will be defeated in a moment, in an instant. And you read, especially in the books of the Old Testament, you read them very carefully. You will see that this message is throughout the entire Old Testament.
Paul, when you say in an instant, are you talking about the instantaneous flash of a thermonuclear weapon, perhaps?
No, I'm not talking about a thermonuclear weapon, because that will be in the early stage of the World War III. We'll see nuclear weapons used. Like I said, it wouldn't be an all-out nuclear exchange, because that would extinct life on the planet. But there will be nuclear weapons used. There will be missiles fired on North America. The United States is going to be brought into submission, at least temporarily. The United States will survive eventually, but the whole world is going to undergo a great time of trouble. They will impose their new world order one way or the other, but that will be brought down. And what is going to be instrumental in bringing it down will be Russia. In the third secret of Fatima, what will lead to the Third World War will be events in involving Russia and Ukraine. Malachi Martin mentioned this more than 20 years ago.
Yes, he Russia did.
And now we see that materializing. We see it coming into effect. Now, I thought, and Malachi thought that all would be finished by 2017, he thought. There are other prophecies that focused on the latter part of the 20th century, but what has to be taken into account is that these prophecies, they always seem to predict a time which undergoes some delay. So the fulfillment of these prophecies doesn't take place generally at the time predicted, but at some time not far after the predicted time. So when we see it, that they all seem to focus on the latter part of the 20th century, the events that were described that will take place in this future, some of them 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years in the future, others longer, other prophecies made in the 1600s, focusing on the 20th century, a tremendously destructive war, for example, is foretold. Exactly the situation that has developed into the world today that we see in today's world. These things have been foretold centuries ago, but the fulfillment is becoming like 20, 30, 40 years after they were predicted to happen. But now we see exactly the image that was depicted prophetically has now taken form, and it is all unfolding as was foretold. And that what is foretold there is Russia will be the main player in undoing,
right,
bringing to ruin, bringing to naught this new world order.
It certainly looks that way. I would agree. The third secret of Fatima, does it have anything else in it that we don't know about yet that you may have an inkling of? How many people are going to survive, I guess, is the more direct question. How big, approximately, will the loss of life be? Are we going to suffer the loss of 75% of the people in Western Europe, for example? What are we looking at?
It could be 75% of the people in Western Europe. It could even be that much. Globally, I think we're looking at 25%, although there are some prophecies that seem to suggest it even more than that. But I think for me, the most credible prophecy I know was the message of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Sister Ellen Aiello, that 25% of the global population would perish.
The world war will pretty much, at least the first stage, be confined to Europe and perhaps the Americas, certainly the United States, the formerly United States. Do we see nuclear weapons being used on American soil, tactical nuclear weapons, moderate nuclear weapons, not utterly annihilation time, but nuclear weapons to bring this country to its knees?
I think they will be used. They already have been used. During the Iraq wars, there was depleted uranium in the atmosphere. And that would only have come about through the use of tactical nuclear weapons. It wasn't publicized. You don't see it reported in the media, so most people seem to be totally unaware of the fact that there have been some tactical nuclear weapons already used in recent wars.
Oh, so, yes. Seen video of that, yes. Mm-hmm. What's our time frame? People want to know when. They always want to know when. Almost like they're, well, if it's next week, I've got a few days, I'm going to get out and get some food and put it away. That's not the way to do it. What is your time frame on this? What does Fatima tell us? What's your best projection?
Tough question,
I know.
I know. I can't say definitely it will be this year, but things seem to be shaping up that we could be looking at it by the end of this year. We could conceivably see the world war break out. I'm hoping not. It could be this year. It could be next year. But mm-hmm. We're talking about that. It will not. We will not see 2030 without having gone through a world war. By 2030, everything will be finished. In my belief, that's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
So, the world war could come as soon as later this year. But we can look for some signs that will indicate to us that the time has come for the world war to break out. Now, one of those things we're looking forward to is famine. And we're looking for, when we see crop failures, we see, starvation. We're going to see a collapse of the financial economic system. There's going to be a total collapse. Europe is going to be in chaos. There is going to be there will be a civil war breaking out in France. There will be revolution in Italy. And when you see those things happening, you know that the world war is very near. Then, after that, you will have an Islamic invasion.
Mm-hmm.
The Islamic countries will invade southern Europe.
Well, the advanced troops are already there. All those people we walked in there, they were fighting-age men, millions of them. So,
yes.
There you go.
Well, I used to live in London, and there are mosques everywhere.
Yeah.
England is going to suffer tremendously for having brought this this plague of Islam into the United Kingdom.
I agree. The Deagle.com projections indicate that by January 1st of 2025, the UK will have only about 17 million people left instead of 70. So we will see. Times are running very quickly. I personally don't think Russia is going to wait for another 2, 3, 4, 10 years for a nuclear war. The time to do it is when people least expect it. And we have now Finland and Sweden being talked about as being the newest members of NATO. Russia will not tolerate that. So I would honestly think that they could take action almost any time. That's my take.
At the time when it's least expected. And what time of year is security at its lowest? And it's during the Christmas holidays.
Christmas holidays, every time. Wow. Father Kramer, thank you for being here again. We look forward to speaking with you again next month, assuming we're all here, my friend. And your observations have been very helpful to a lot of people. We appreciate that. One final quick comment, if you may, on Harari and his statements about the worth of the masses of human beings.
Well, they overestimate the worth of themselves because, again, if you look at the Old Testament prophets, it speaks of what's going to happen to people like them. And they are the ones who are going to be the target of the wrath of Almighty God.
Well, a lot of people will share that. Thank you. Thank you again, Father Paul Kramer. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, very good. We'll see you next month.
Next month? Okay, very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back with another hour. Stay tuned.